All right. Thank you, William. He just sent you a greeting, Jim, on my phone.
Oh, hey, cool.
So, you know, it is so cool, the number of people that have passed through the doors of the ministry and actually the number of people that have been on the radio team through the years, some of which have moved away, some of which have gone to, you know, other things going on in their lives and they can't do it. But it's just a joy to know that there's been a whole lot of people touched by this radio ministry. And we give God the glory and praise.
Amen. Amen.
So here we are in this new season, because it is a new season. And in this series, Signs and Wonders, that's what that song by Chris Tomlin and Danny Gokey is all about that we just played. Because God is doing amazing things in these days. He is answering prayer. He is doing miracles. He's healing people. He is setting people free. He's working out crazy situations in people's lives, mm-hmm. isn't he, Pastor Jim?
Amen.
We had some people talk about how what a difficult week they had this week. Some of them that were baptized the Holy Spirit last week were giving testimony today about how hard their week was, but how it all turned out good, mm-hmm. even though they went through a difficult time. Even though they were like, whoa, what's going on here? Why am I enduring this? And if we hang in there with God, we know that God works all things together for our good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That's Romans 8:28. And we got to bank on that. We got to take that to the bank. And we got to remind God, hey, I'm testifying, God, about your greatness. So when we begin to praise God, and I know there's people probably listening to us, Pastor Jim, that have not had that experience of learning to praise God and worship God, which we do at Beacon of Hope, which we love to do, hands raised. Sometimes you play in you're a crazy tambourine player. Boy, this morning you just got nuts. I mean, it was good. I mean, it was really good. Some of us were laughing at you because it was so good. And I mean, laughing with you because, I mean, you were just so into it, you know? And as we want to express our praise. I was playing air drums in here during that last song, Impossible Things. My son Ryan's a drummer. I'm not, but I like to play air drums to certain songs. And so, you know, as we are expressing, what I'm trying to say is testifying, this is where I'm getting back to the point, testifying is more than just saying, God healed me of this. It is expressing ourselves about the greatness of God, mm-hmm. right? What were these people in Acts chapter 2 as they were filled with the Holy Spirit? And it says in Acts 2 verse 11 that they're speaking our languages. And these people from all points of the world at that time were listening to them as soon as they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in all these different languages, but the common theme was what they were talking about. And it says they were describing the mighty works of God. Talk about that.
Well, I did this last Sunday. I have this little, like, the study Bible I'm using has these little word wealth things. And it gives the definition of wonderful works, which is conspicuous.
Oh, that's cool.
Out in the open. Magnificent, splendid,
yeah.
majestic, sublime, grand, beautiful, excellent, favorable. So, you know, we talk about the wonderful works of God, his magnificent works, his
right.
sublime works.
Wow.
I like conspicuous.
Yes.
Out in the open.
Out in the
works.
Open. Let's see it.
You know, God does things out in the open. And splendid, majestic, grand, beautiful, all those. I mean, I would have loved to have been there just to have heard what they were saying, but I'm sure they were speaking about God's wonder, you know, creation and salvation and everything. And, you know, it had to be amazing because I'm pretty sure, you know, they looked the part of rabble fishermen and such.
Oh, yeah, they probably did.
And I mean, some of these languages had to be really, all right, Cappadocia, Pontus, Phrygia, Pamphylia. Who knows
what
they were speaking?
This is not Spanish, Italian, French. This
right.
is all kinds of dialects, probably.
You know, yeah, all kinds of different dialects. And here,
right.
they were speaking those.
Right.
They were proclaiming God's wonders.
Yes.
In those foreign tongues, those unknown tongues to them.
Right.
that could be understood. And
wow.
And yet, I mean, and I figure they must be kind of staggery, under the power, kind of, because, you know, the detractors did say, they're just full of new wine.
But, you know, how often, and Peter goes, wait a minute, it's only 9 o'clock, we're not drunk. But how often in our services through the years, Pastor Jim, have we felt such a mighty move of God in the service that, I mean, everything changed what we were going to do. I've had times where I didn't preach at all, or you didn't preach at all. Nobody preached. We just had this amazing healing service, and people were knocked down on, you know, off their feet. And not because nobody knocked them down. I don't mean that. They couldn't stand up because of the power of God.
Amen.
And go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, if anybody wants to wonder where that's at, it's in 1 Kings chapter 8.
Yeah.
When Solomon dedicates the temple.
Right.
The priests, the glory of God fell. The presence
yes.
was there, and the priests,
yes.
the literal translation is they could not stand up to minister.
They couldn't. They were falling down. I'm reminded of the night in the Garden of Gethsemane. And when Peter chops the ear off of one of the guards, you know, and Jesus leans down to pick it up. But they said, where is this Messiah? Somebody was asking, one of the guards, right? And
Jesus said, who are you looking for?
Who are you looking for?
And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am.
He said, I am.
He didn't say, I'm who you're looking for. He said, I am.
And then it goes on to say, and they all fell down.
They all fell backwards.
They all fell down. They could, and they did it again. They didn't learn the first time. They're staggering and they're barely, the guards, you know. I mean, Jesus could have run off and hid somewhere. You know, no, he just stood. He knew what he had to do. He knew this was God's promise. He had to fulfill it, God's plan. And they all fall down twice.
Right. And
I love it. I love it.
It's amazing because he let I always looked at that scripture as like Jesus just letting out just a pinch
of his glory.
Of his glory.
Yes.
And they all fell backwards.
They all fell.
And you're right. He could have run away. But he didn't.
No, he goes, oh, I am. But see, I am is who he is. We did that series recently.
Right.
I am the bread of life, and I am the way, the truth, and the life, and all of that. And all he had to say was, I am. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't stand up.
Right, right. Well, at any time, John, Ezekiel, so many others, and every time that they had an encounter with God, poof.
Yeah.
Balaam.
Yeah, they fall.
Balaam had the same thing.
And I used to years ago when I was first in these types of services, I would go, oh my gosh, somebody just wants to fall down. But then it happened to me. And when it happens to you, you can't stand up.
Yeah, I know. Quick, funny story. I was visiting with a friend in Orlando. He'd won a trip. This was, 25, 26 years ago. And a certain evangelist happened to be in town that we decided we wanted to go see. And if this evangelist was one who would wave his hand and rows of people would fall down.
Sure.
I was convinced this is just so fake. Mm-hmm. I mean, and mind you, I was charismatic at the time.
Right.
I mean, I in the past had fallen under the power.
Right, sure.
Well, because we didn't know he was going to be there, we didn't get in the main seating area. We were in some room off the main hall. And it was a big arena, but we were in some small room watching it via closed circuit TV. And guess what happened?
What happened, Pastor Jim?
This evangelist waved his hand, and even through closed circuit TV, down I went.
There you go.
And it was just, it's like, okay, I'm not going to doubt this no more.
No, no.
But, you know, when God shows up,
right.
things are going to happen.
They're going to happen.
And it may look a little different.
But it's scriptural. Spirit wind by casting crowns. Listen to this. Wind of the Holy Spirit. Think of the day of Pentecost. And then the guitars started.
Ezekiel stared down into the valley, filled with dried bones baking in the sun. Remains that used to be a mighty army. To him it looked like the fighting days were done. But driven by your calling on his life, You spoke God's words, the bones began to shake. You stared wide-eyed as the flesh began to form. And as it prophesied to the wind, the soldiers began to wake. And the Lord sent his wind into the valley and breathed the breath of life into their souls and raised them again a mighty army. For soon these arisen warriors will battle again. For they have been filled with the Spirit wind. A pastor stands before his congregation, once a mighty army for the Lord, but now he stares into the lifeless eyes, believers leading carnal lives, wonders what they're fighting for. But driven by your calling on his life, he spoke God's word like he'd done 100 times before. But this time he comes broken and weeping, the tears of a broken heart, and he cries out to the Lord. Lord, send your wind into this valley. Breathe the breath of life into their souls. Raise them again a mighty army. Soon these arisen warriors will battle again. They have been filled with the Spirit wind. Whoa.
Praise God. Dear Lord, that is our prayer right now. Raise us again a mighty army, Lord. Send your Spirit to flood these airwaves and fill our listeners and all of us anew to overflowing with your power, all that you have and want to do in our lives. Lord, we are declaring right now we are open. We are ready for a massive new move of your Holy Spirit among us. Lord, we know it can turn us upside down. It can turn everybody around this upside down when you do a mighty suddenly move. And so, Lord, right now we're saying, I'm saying for this ministry right now. Pastor Jim and I are in agreement right now in the name of Jesus that, Lord, you just move mightily within us and to us and around us and through us.
Amen.
So that lives will be changed forever for your glory. For your glory, mighty God. This is what we pray. Amen. And amen. Look at Acts chapter 3. Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray. And probably around, about 3 in the afternoon, I believe it was, wasn't it?
Yes.
And there was a man there, sitting there, who had been sitting there all the time. He was crippled from birth, being carried up. Every day he was set down there. Somebody brought him there and set him there. He had been crippled all his life, from birth, it says. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for a handout. And if you've been much in Central America and a lot of other countries, that's very common. People ask for a handout. And Peter, with John at his side, looked it straight in the eye, this guy, and he says, look here. And you can imagine this guy looking up at him and expecting money. And Peter said, he looked up, expecting to get something from them. Oh, boy, did he ever get something from them. Verse 6 of Acts 3. Peter said, I don't have a nickel to my name. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. What did Peter have right there?
He had the authority of the name of
Jesus. He did. Because he said, I give you this in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk. And he grabbed him by the right hand and pulled him up. In an instant, his feet and ankles became firm. He jumped to his feet and walked. I don't know where this originated from. We used to have T-shirts and Beacon that said this. Faith is acting like God told you the truth. Faith is acting like God told you the truth. Now, when Jesus sent the disciples out, he said, heal the sick, lay hands on them, raise the dead. This was included, times like this, where people were healed so miraculously. This was one of those times. This is that again, the power of the Holy Spirit working mightily through us. Talk to us, PJ.
Well, and it's not like this man had just recently broke his leg, you know.
I mean,
that would have been a great healing to see the leg get healed. But he was lame from birth. Everybody knew it. In fact, later on, the chief priests say, you know, we can't deny it. We know he was lame.
We all know this guy.
We all know this guy. We know he was lame, and now he's healed.
Right.
And
what did they do with that, right?
Well, they couldn't do anything with it.
Right.
They just said,
but it made him mad.
Well, yeah, it made him mad, and they said, don't you ever speak this name again.
Right. They realized the authority was in the name.
Right.
Didn't they?
And, you know, this man got up and it says he went walking and leaping and praising God.
Yeah.
And you know I'm about to burst into song.
Go ahead.
You know, he went walking and leaping and praising God. And it says all the people saw him walking and praising God.
Right.
And they knew that it was the one who said begging alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement.
Whoa.
At what had happened to him. Now, I think it's great because Peter could have just wandered out of the temple and said, you know, okay, well, I'll let him think about this for a while.
Right.
No, what does he do? He preaches another sermon.
Yes, right there. He's testifying.
He's testifying because, I mean, you can
imagine.
He's
got a captive audience.
Right.
Why not?
All these people running together to see this man. It was says in verse 11, all the people ran together to them on the porch, you know, on Solomon's colonnade, which
right.
was not a front porch. It was a big, huge area. People ran up to see him, and Peter took that, again, his boldness, he took that opportunity to testify about what had happened.
He didn't say, well, I really don't know. I don't want to get in trouble here with the religious leaders, so I don't know what happened. A guy, I don't know. Did you know this? I mean, Peter did not dodge this at all.
No.
He just boldly said, oh, yeah, that was cool, wasn't it?
And I love how he starts it. Don't think I did this.
What verse are you in?
Well, that was my paraphrase, kind of for verse 6.
Okay.
Oh, well, yeah. Or no, I'm sorry, verse 12. So when Peter saw it, he responded,
right.
Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Okay.
Right.
Which is, I just thought of this. That's really cool because it's like, you know what? This is going to be normative now. This
yes.
is going to be the normal way of
right.
things.
Right, right.
So why do you marvel at it? Or why do you look intently at us as though we, through our own power or godliness, made this man walk?
Which is impossible. Right.
He's saying it had nothing to do with John and I and our
right.
our godliness or whatever. And I love this. He just takes it right back to him and says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our
yes,
fathers.
Yes, yes.
Glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied. So here he is. He's saying, okay, Jesus did this. The one that you gave up to be crucified, the one who rose again, he says in verse 15, whom God raised from the dead, of which we're witnesses. Here he's testifying
yes.
again. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong.
Whoa. I love that. It's the name. It's the name. And he realized right then he had a captive audience.
These people were hungry. Like you've said before, miracles are the dinner bell of salvation.
I love that.
They saw it. They all ran together. They wanted an explanation. And here's Peter saying, you got one.
Hey, when people see a miracle, they want to know what happened. They want to know why it happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so often in my experience through the years, actually laying hands on people, seeing them healed, or hearing back the next week how the pain left them and they were fine. We've had, through the years in the ministry, we've had people healed of cancer. We've had people with all kinds of problems, physical, mental, emotional, healed. God has done that. God gets all the glory and the praise. But God says, I want you to be a vessel of my healing. I want you to go out. He sent the disciples out in Matthew 10 and in Luke. He sent them out. He said, go and do this. Lay hands on the sick. Don't be afraid to testify that God is able to heal your body. Talk to us about that.
Well, and yeah, and it's exactly what Peter did here. You know, it happened, and I'm sure he was prompted by the Holy Spirit, and the man got healed. These people came together, and Peter said, well, praise God. I get another chance to talk about Jesus. I get another chance to preach.
Right.
And sure enough, he did. And, you know, he told them, this, it's not us. God has fulfilled the promises in Jesus.
Yes.
And y'all need to repent.
This is exactly right. And here's something I've seen in all these years of ministry, okay? Getting saved when I was 4 years old, growing up as a pastor's daughter, and then at 10, when I was 10, my parents were called to the mission field, and we went to Central America. And I saw right there, I saw miracles. I saw people set free, delivered of demonic spirits. I saw people healed on the spot. I saw, you know, all kinds of things. I could go on and on and on through my years of ministry in other countries and here. But the truth of the matter of all of it is God is looking for willing vessels who will be bold enough to actually believe that God can still heal today, that God can still set people free from things that have been nagging and driving them nuts for years, demonic spirits. God is our deliverer. Jesus is our deliverer. He is our savior. He is our healer. He is the one that can set you free from your past, from your resentments. He's the one that came to set the bruised and downtrodden free. In Isaiah 61, when Jesus preached his first sermon in Luke 4, he stood up and said, hand me that scroll. And they handed him the one that evidently he knew where it was, Isaiah 61. And he said, this is it. This is what? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to do these things. Those very verses have been our mantra or message of Beacon of Hope all these years. We believe with all that is within us, starting with me and Pastor Jim and then all of us, we believe that Jesus still heals today. We believe that a situation like this in Acts 3 should not be just a one-time event. These things can happen now. God wants to do this. I've seen him do it.
Well, amen. And he said, these signs shall follow them that believe in
That's
Mark
right.
chapter 16. He promised that these signs would follow
amen.
Us. And then later on it says, when they went out and preached, God confirmed his word.
Yes.
With the signs and wonders. That right there in Mark 16 is repeated in Acts chapter 14.
Yes.
And in Hebrews chapter 2. It talks about how God confirmed his word. And, you know, some people say, well, see, the word's already been written. It doesn't need to be confirmed anymore. Yeah, it does, because there's so many skeptics.
Right.
And so many people who don't believe the word, who don't believe that the Bible is true. And yet God will confirm his word with
yes.
signs and wonders.
That's the title of the series.
Amen.
Because God is still doing those things
exactly.
today.
Exactly. Exactly. They didn't stop happening.
No.
You know, when John put the last period in the book of Revelation when he wrote it, miracles didn't cease then.
Yeah.
All through that period. I mean, example, Augustine said, no, he first thought they'd stopped until he saw the dead raised.
Right.
You know, he saw healings. He saw a dead person raised. He said, oh, I guess this is for today.
But so many people still teach in churches across this nation, Pastor Jim, that the miracles and all that were just for those 12 apostles or 11 apostles. And that was just limited to those people. They still teach it, that it ended with the death of the last one of those. And that's not true.
No, it's not.
There's no scripture to that effect.
There's no scripture to that effect. There's nothing in scripture that says, yeah, God confirmed it, but he's going to stop it. You know, there's no hint of that happening. There's no hint that the days of healings and miracles have ended.
No. Go to Acts chapter 2, verse 38, which we talked about this morning, a beacon of hope. Peter said in his sermon here, his first sermon, right before 3,000 people got saved, he said, change your life, turn to God and be baptized. You can read it in your translation in a minute. Each of you in the name of Jesus Christ, so your sins are forgiven. That's your salvation experience. Next sentence, Acts 2:38, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what we talked about last week. Receive it. You have to do it. You have to receive it. The promise is targeted to you and your children, but also to all who are far away, whomever, in fact, our Master God invites. Well, we're far away from those events. We're 2,000 years far away, and it's for us too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, exactly. I mean, the New King James says, and Peter said to them, repent. That's first step. You got to repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. Step two, water baptism.
Right.
And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
For the promise. I love the way he ties it back into the promise.
Right.
The promise of the Father is to you and to your children, to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord will call. So listeners, if the Lord has called you, this promise is for you. And something that just kind of popped out, the promise is the whole salvation experience, getting saved and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's all wrapped up in the same thing. It's all part of the package. Think about it. On Christmas, ooh, I like that package. I'm going to unwrap that because it says fire insurance. But this thing over here about the Holy Spirit, I think I'm not going to unwrap that. Okay, we were all children once. Did you ever leave any gifts unwrapped on Christmas morning?
Very good metaphor.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. It's all part of the package.
Yes.
Accept it all.
It's all
because
promised.
It's what God wants for you.
And he promised it to you.
Yeah.
In Isaiah 32, we went over that scripture last week. In Joel chapter 2, different places. Yes and Amen by Chris Tomlin, which we also need to do next Sunday. All these promises, they're yes and amen. That means they for you. Yes, for you.
From the ashes.
For you. Love that song. Acts chapter 3. When this happened and Peter took that lame man by the hand and just pulled him up on his ankles and his legs and he started praising God and running around, that caused all this confusion. And as Pastor Jim started to say here a minute ago, it caused Peter to want to testify and address everybody. He started talking in verse 12 of Acts chapter 3, and he started pointing out how all this happened, that Jesus was the plan of the Father all along, and that he was killed. But God, who through the preaching of all the prophets had said all along, this is in about verse 17 or 18, that his Messiah would be killed, knew exactly what you were doing, and used it to fulfill his plans. In other words, he accuses these Jews of killing Jesus. But he says, you know, that's all right, because this was part of God the Father's plan. And now it's time to change your ways. Verse 19, talk about that little section there, Pastor Jim, from 19 to 26 of Acts chapter 3, where he really makes a case using the prophets.
Right. It says, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Me too.
Refreshing.
And that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. And, you know, the times of refreshing are for now. The times of restoration are for when Jesus comes back. But here he's saying, first of all, you got to repent. You have to repent. And
that's interesting. Repent, be refreshed, and then be restored.
Right.
Interesting.
Ooh, Yeah. We've had more alliteration
lately
on this show than
we have
any other one.
Yeah. Go ahead.
But I think times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. Well, what's more refreshing than getting baptized in the Holy Spirit? And then the restoration of all things, the reordering of all things, which will occur at the coming of Jesus. And then he reminds them about what Moses prophesied back in Deuteronomy, I believe, about God's going to raise up for you a prophet like me. Listen to him. Listen. Kind of like the station ID. Listen. But he said, I love what he says. He talks about how all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many of us spoken, also foretold these days. Samuel, David, all the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel.
Abraham,
all the way. And he says, yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and the covenant that God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families shall be blessed, mm-hmm. of the earth shall be blessed. And I like this because you mentioned it this morning, and I just read this again yesterday, Romans 1, 16, 17. To you first, to the Jewish people first.
Right.
God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities.
Mm-hmm.
But it hit me, to you first, to the Jew,
first.
And then
also
to the Greek. Yeah. It's just, Peter said, look, this is what's got to happen. And look, God predicted it. He even predicted it as far back as Abraham. In you, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. That was a messianic scripture. And then Moses, there's a lot of prophecies in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy 18:15 is where he says it to Moses. Genesis 22:18 is where he says that to Abraham about all the families of the earth will be blessed in you.
Right.
And for anybody who might be taking notes. Deuteronomy 18:15, Genesis 22:18.
And, again, Peter says, look, God said he was going to do it. He did it. We're here to tell you that he did it.
Right.
And then he says, God is going to bless you first,
mm-hmm.
and through you all the nations of
all
the earth.
All the nations.
By turning you away from your iniquities.
Wow.
And he goes right back. It's just big circle.
Big circle. He's testifying.
Yeah.
He's attesting to the truth here, the proven facts. He's proving it. And, when you prove in geometry, I loved geometry. I loved the logical thinking of it, where you have a given and you're trying to prove this about triangle, this side is equal to whatever. I used to love that because I loved the conclusion of making my points. Now I know why, because of teaching the word. Because the word is like that here, and Peter's like that here, okay? And he says, here's what we're trying to get to. We're trying to get to this principle, and here's how we'll do it. We'll prove it with this, 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 and this. And remember that the word testify means to prove,
mm-hmm.
to give evidence of. So Peter stands right here in his second sermon, and he proves it. He says, it was this way. Go back over those proofs, PJ, if you will, for somebody who might want to write them down.
Okay, so he talks about all this happened in verse 21, which God's spoken through the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. And actually, if you think about it, in the garden, after the fall, he talks about the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. I mean, that's Genesis 3:15. All the way back there, since the world began, Peter said, this time has been prophesied. The Messiah has been prophesied. And he said, for Moses truly said that you're going to raise up a prophet. And that's, like you said, Deuteronomy 18. And then in verse 24, he says, yes, and all the prophets from Samuel to those who follow, as many have spoken. Each one of them talked about these days.
So it wasn't one isolated case. It was over and over again. Yes, the promises are yes and amen. That's amen. Why we just did that song.
Amen. All those prophecies.
Yes.
About the coming of the Messiah are amazing. And only right. one person ever did and could have ever yes. fulfilled them all, and that was Jesus.
Yes.
You know, and what is it, 10 to the... quadrillion, you know, 10 to the 14th power.
power, yeah.
1 in 10 to the 14th power of somebody just fulfilling, what, 10 of the prophecies, yeah. 10 of the major prophecies.
Yeah, just so crazy, that number. I want to go back to verse 16 of Acts chapter 3, because as Peter starts this sermon, he is taking it step by step like an attorney would do to prove a legal case. And he gets to verse 16 of Acts chapter 3, and he goes, it's faith in Jesus' name that put this man, whose condition you know so well, on his feet. I find it very interesting. This was a common person. Everybody in town knew him.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knew he had been lame and had not been able to walk since he was born. What better testimony of the glory of God than to God to raise up this man to walk, right?
Oh,
he says,
amen.
Faith and nothing but faith put this man healed and whole right before your eyes. I love that. Go ahead.
You have to have an impossibility to get your miracle. And here it was. I mean, this, like I said before, this wasn't somebody who was temporarily lame, like he'd broken his leg. He'd been lame since he'd never, ever walked. And now he's up walking and leaping and praising God. And Peter says, you know, you've seen it. This is how it happened. Through his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him, through Jesus, has given him this perfect soundness.
Yes.
In the presence of you all.
Whoa, hallelujah. And so, and there we see it right there, that immediately after these disciples and these 120 are baptized in the Holy Spirit, their worlds were rocked forever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Peter now has already preached two sermons in just very little time. And at this point, we know there's like 4,000 or 5,000 people who have been saved, and some of them, probably a lot of them, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And all because Peter was now boldly, urgently wanting to testify about what God mm-hmm. had done in them. Oh, that we would be like this.
Amen.
Mm-mm-mm. We're going to play a song by Terry McCallum entitled Spirit of the Lord. Fall on me. And before we do, I'd like to pray for our audience. Because this is the goal. And if wherever you are, whatever you're doing, take a moment. If you have to leave the company of others to go be alone for a couple minutes, let this song permeate you. And as it begins, would you say, Lord, yes, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Fill me anew. Do a new, fresh work in me. I want all that you have for me. Heavenly Father, I want it all. Do this work in me. Make this your prayer. Ah, come on. Why aren't you working? Ah, okay.
Jesus, bless your name. Thank you, Lord.
Now it is.
Oh, we welcome you in this place, Lord. We welcome the new thing that we've never known before. We welcome the river of God to flow mightily through the streets of our cities, God. Hallelujah. Let it happen, God. Let it happen in us, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's open our hearts as we sing together.
Spirit of the Lord, fall on me.
Make it your prayer right now.
And Spirit of
and fill me, and fill me with your glory. All right, you know it now, sing it.
Dear one, so often at this point in the show, we come to a place where, you know, we're saying it's decision time. What is it you want from God? Do you want to just be content with your salvation experience, your fire insurance, with knowing that if Jesus died tonight, you'd go to heaven? Don't you want more? Don't you want him to so fill you that when people bump into you, they feel the Lord? I had a text a few minutes ago from some new people that are a part of our ministry now. And I've got to read this little thing right here. And it was, where was it? Where did I find it? Okay, it's on Messenger. That's where it was. And it was about that very concept. And this dear one wrote and said something to that effect about... we want, she's talking about she and her husband, we want to be so full of God that when people bump into us, they feel like they bump into God. Wow. Talk about a power statement. Gave me goosebumps. And I mean, is that, and PJ, you know who I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about.
I know. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, that's our desire. We don't want to be unaffected by the message of the book of Acts. We want it to so affect us that our lives are permanently changed and we are open to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives in a dramatic way. And we say, God, fill me to overflowing. Use me. Teach me. Change me. Cause me to realize that you're cleaning me up, as painful as it might be. You know, we are in the process of being changed into his glory. We are in the process of becoming more like Jesus. That's our goal. That's our desire. Talk to us, PJ.
Well, Paul says exactly, I was thinking exactly that. You know, we're changed. He says this light momentary affliction is nothing.
2 Corinthians 4.
Compared to the glory that we're going to receive, we're being changed from glory to glory.
Ever-increasing
glory.
Yes.
And again, you know, he starts out, light momentary affliction. We need to remember that. No matter what our trials are, they're momentary.
They can feel like huge, major catastrophes.
They can feel like they're never going to end.
Right.
I've been there. I know. I mean, it just, you think, oh, is this thing ever going to stop?
Right.
And yet, Paul exhorts us to look at it from the perspective of eternity.
Absolutely.
You know, he's not just minimizing or being stupid.
Right.
He's saying, you know what? Look at it in eternal terms.
Right. Right.
Because he says that the things that we see are temporal. They're temporary. The things we don't see, those are the ones that last forever.
Oh, absolutely. And for those of you that have been with us through this whole show or a good part of the show, you need to remember that God is wanting to do a fresh work in you, not business as usual. He's not good about business as usual, is he, Pastor Jim? He doesn't like that at all.
No.
He wants us to be so on fire for him that we change because we desire to look like Jesus, act like Jesus, and be his mouthpiece on this earth and be his vessels of honor. That's what we want to be.
Right, right. And that's what he calls us to be. And that gets back to what I was saying earlier about how some people are afraid.
Yes.
I mean, because it is a...
Yeah, they are.
It calls for commitment.
Right.
It calls for stepping out of your comfort zone in order to walk with him.
Well, go ahead.
And, you know, it's... In a way, it's kind of comfortable just to be saved.
Right.
But yet, there's so much more. Both ways. I mean, God calls us to do so much more, but he empowers and equips us, and we get that more intimate fellowship.
Oh, absolutely.
With him. It's a two-way street.
I have almost 12 grandkids. Well, I do have 12. Just one still in utero. And so when they're little like that, they are so cute and whatever. But if they are 16 and 18 and they're still acting like a two-year-old, that's not cute any longer.
No, that's annoying.
That's annoying because we want them to grow up and become mature and become everything that they can. It's the same spiritually. Very same thing. When we are baby Christians and we've said, God, Jesus, come into my heart. I believe you're the Son of God. Come and live in me. I believe God raised you from the dead, Jesus. And that's our initial beginning to walk with him. And if we stop there and never desire to go beyond that point, and we just want to hear sermon after sermon about sin and how awful rotten we all are, and we got to get saved, and we go, oh, I've already been saved, so I'm fine. I mean, it's great. I mean, what happens is as we grow in God, we desire to be full of his Holy Spirit
right.
because that cleaning up process begins. Is it fun? No. Is it hard? Yes.
Is it worth it?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Next week's going to be powerful around here, Pastor Jim. I'm very, very excited. If you just tuned in recently, next week is our 600th radio show for this show, Living the Good Life. We have two shows we do a week. The Thursday night show is a life coaching show with Dr. Angel Falzoni and me. That's where I go by my other name, Mama Mac. And it's life coaching, it's counseling show Thursday night. This Thursday night happens to be our fourth anniversary also for the Go Yard show. Just kind of happened at the same
Everything
time.
Everything happening at the same time.
It's pretty crazy. And so we will celebrate with Facebook Live. Our show will be Facebook Live, 6:06 p.m. this coming Thursday night. Join us on Go Yard for a life-changing show. This show next week will be our 600th show right here, Living the Good Life on this station. And it's taken us, we're in our 12th year to get to 600 shows, which is kind of wild, isn't it? We're going to have a cake here next Sunday. We're going to have a good time. And if you are nearby, if you're one of the listeners to this show, we encourage you, come on down at 3:00.
Amen.
And mingle with some of our church people. You'll be able to tell who they are because we're all going to have matching shirts next week on our Beacon of Hope shirts.
I better put that on my calendar.
Oh, yeah. So we're all going to look alike, but you'll be able to find us. And Pete, our good friend and engineer, will actually, even though I do the engineering for this show, he's going to be carrying around the Facebook camera, and We're going to have a fun day. And all of our radio team members, we think, maybe minus one or two, are going to be featured on that show next Sunday afternoon. And it's going to be powerful. We will continue in the book of Acts, signs and wonders. And next week we'll be declaring. Can't wait. It's going to be mighty. Pastor Jim, do you have a couple of words here before we get out of here, before we start this? I'm going to go back and play Spirit of the Lord again as our ending song. I'm going to start it right now so it can be playing as you're talking.
Yeah, just remember, God wants us to walk with Him.
Yeah.
To have an intimate relationship. And maybe you think your relationship with God's gotten stale. Just ask Him again to have the Spirit fall on you.
Yes.
And let His Spirit do a work in you. Become,
amen.
You know, get to know Him.
Yes.
Get to know Him.
The Word will become alive to
you.
Oh,
amen.
When you say, God, fill me up with all there is for you.
Amen.
And you're going to have more power than you ever thought you could possibly happen. And Jesus' promise in Acts 1, 7, and 8 will come true for you, that you'll be able to be witnesses and be able to testify and tell what God has done in your life. Baptism of the Holy Spirit opens that whole avenue up for you. Wow. Always great to be with you week after week. So don't forget our 600th show next week. Also celebrating, finishing our 17th year as a ministry, starting our 18th year next week. It all comes down on the same week. It's pretty wild, if you ask me. And our Go Yard 4th anniversary show on Thursday night at 6:06 p.m. Dr. Angel and me, Mama Mac. Ah, Pastor Jim, you are such a blessing to our whole congregation and to our radio audience and to me, working right beside you all these years. What a blessing. And I thank God for you.
Oh, I thank God for you. Thank God for this ministry.
Amen. So, folks, get involved. You can become more involved. Show yourself down here at the station next Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Let us get to know you. And come eat a piece of cake with us. Spirit of the Lord, fall on us. This has been Pastor Jim Ellsbury and me, Pastor Marcia McAllister, bringing you the Word of God from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we will see you again next week, right at this time, 3 p.m. to 5 Eastern Standard Time. Spirit of the Lord, fill us anew. Amen. God bless each of you. See you next week. Right now.